This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Beginning another day of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, friends, I hope you had a chance to tune into the program this last week. Monday through Thursday, I had an interview with Dr. Robert Horton. Dr. Horton's an agronomist from Iowa State University and a friend, a brother I've come to know over the last 15 to 20 years, who's joined us on mission trips with Renewal Ministries in Eastern Europe and in Africa and various places. And Bob told his story, and I'm really glad he did, because I find in him a tremendous example of the call to the new evangelization, like a concrete example of what the new evangelization could look like. He's a world-class agronomist, a distinguished professor. He loves the work that he's doing at the university, travels and speaks in different parts of the world all the time because he's highly sought after. Iowa State is to soil in some ways as Harvard is to law international. It's a great, one of the great soil centers of the world. So Bob's kind of right in the middle of it. He's loving his career. He loves the opportunity to work with graduate students. But there's a whole dimension of his life that he never knew even could exist or was possible. He was raised in a nominal Catholic family. In his story, he told us this last week that he got married at a very young age and pursued his career intensely. And his entire focus, 90% it seems like, of his focus of his life was on advancing in his career. And so his family was sacrificed, his young family of 2-3 children. And he told us about the tragic death of his youngest daughter, who drowned. And secondly, he told us about the tragic moment his wife left him. And as a result, they ended up getting divorced. He tried to fight for the marriage, but was not able to bring reconciliation. It was the time in his life where he hit rock bottom, where it felt like nothing he was doing was worth doing anymore. He felt like his life had hit a wall. There was a black cloud over his mind and his heart, and his will. He said he just didn't want to live. He was tempted to literally take his life. And so this great life he had built for himself and the name and the reputation in just a very short period of just 2 months disappeared. And he was lost. He told us about how he began to pursue God. He began to read the Bible, the Psalms, the morning Psalms, which cry out to God. He said, brought light. He saw a glimmer of light in the psalmist as David cried out during times of trial and suffering, or when his enemies were pursuing him, when things weren't going the way that he anticipated. And Dr. Bob said he found there some consolation and some hope because he could relate so deeply to what King David was saying. He then opened his heart. He said he began to really pursue God. And this is the key, I think, to understanding transformation of his life and how he came into a whole new understanding of literally what matters in the world, what matters in this life. And he embraced God's plan for him, a plan that he never knew even existed or was possible. He was on such a narrow focus and he had such a one-track mind, he assumed he completely understood what God was calling him to, though he wasn't pursuing that consciously. If you'd asked him at that time, what does God want you to do? He said, well, God wants me to do what I'm doing. He wouldn't have known of anything else because he never took the time to radically pursue God with a desperate heart, with a longing heart, with the kind of passion that Jesus himself challenged us to have. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. I see Jesus' words fulfilled so clearly in Bob's life. He began to seek Jesus first because he came to the place in his life where he said, Lord, I messed it up completely on my own. I'm tired of just acting like I have all the answers. And the plan I have is the perfect plan for my life. I want to know what your plan is. And he began to consciously seek him. Daily prayer. He started going to Mass more regularly, receiving the sacraments more consistently, joined a prayer group in his parish where people really helped bring him to a place of healing. He was so wounded and broken, discouraged, filled with really depression in so many ways, angry at himself for the choices that he had made in his life. And over time, he slowly began to experience healing. And it was through the help of brothers and sisters who were also seeking God first. Broken, sinful people, just like Bob, but people who had been captured by Christ. And this is the thing. Bob began to turn his gaze away from his priorities and turn his gaze toward the Lord. He said, Lord, I just want to do your will, like Mary's fiat. Not my will be done, Lord, but yours will be done. Jesus' cry in Gethsemane. That's the transformation of mind and heart and will that the Lord is looking for. And that's the key to finding God's ultimate purpose for your life, for my life. That's the key. So Bob makes that transition over time. And then as he just offers himself to the Lord and pursues the Lord wherever the Lord would lead him, he talked about a time when, you know, he began to learn more about God's call to all the baptized, to enter his mission, to become evangelistic, to be able to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus with others. And Bob said he experienced the healing and forgiveness of the Lord, and that's what he wanted to be able to share with other people. It reminds me of Jesus' words, you know, he who loves much, or scripture, he who loves much forgives much. Bob was forgiven much, and he felt the tender mercy of God. And out of that experience, he knew there were others around him who were also struggling and dealing with their own failures, their own mistakes in life, their own sins, and that they too needed God's mercy and needed to know it, to know who God was, and to come to discover God's plan for their lives. So he pursued it, and as brothers and sisters encouraged him and prayed with him, some of them had a sense, Bob, you know, you should be really feel like the Lord wants to lead you into, you know, sharing the gospel, sharing the scripture with people, start a Bible study on campus, to be open to praying with people. And so Bob tells us story after story of how facing his own fears, saying, what do I have to give? And how would I pray with somebody? And what if nothing happens? And what about my position and my, you know, the image of what I've created for myself? What's going to happen with all of that? He let it go. He said, whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'm happy to do. And then he went on to tell us a few stories during the week of how the Lord used him to help bring professors, graduate students, atheists, people who grew up in China or Russia or other places, and were taught their entire lives that there was no God, and that to believe in God is completely irrational, it's foolish, that it's some kind of a crutch for weak people. And Bob had conversation after conversation that he didn't have to go and try to make happen. They just unfolded in the context of the life that he was living. And this is an important, I think, teaching point for all of us in terms of how do we respond to the new evangelization? Well, we do what we live in the place the Lord has put us, sort of bloom where you're planted. So one person had mentioned it to me. You've got in the job you're in, the neighborhood you're in, the family you're in, the friendships that you have. Evangelization begins right there. But it begins, as Bob was sharing with us, not with you standing up and, you know, pounding the Bible. It's loving your neighbor. It's understanding and hearing your neighbor. One of the things Bob said I found so interesting, he said, until he reached this point in his life of brokenness and then being healed by the Lord and filled by the Spirit in a fresh and new way, he said in some ways he believed that he was beginning to listen to people for the first time in his life, like listen from his heart, to really desire to hear people. He said usually, normally when people would, students or other folks would describe they're having difficulty with this or that in their lives, he'd say, gee, that's too bad, and then he'd want to move right on because he didn't know what to do. He didn't have any solution. He felt uncomfortable. Now, knowing that the Lord's love was really beginning to burn in his heart and the Lord's love for the people around him, he just became more patient. And I think this is one of the things I notice in him that I'm so grateful for. Whenever I'm with him, he's just so dialed down. He's so humble and walking with a genuine, recollected heart, open to others and hearing others. And so as he began to listen to other people's pain and suffering and their needs, he saw the doorway. The doorways that were appearing before him that he could gently walk through and ask people, could I pray for you? And he said, of all the people he's asked across this past 20 years, he can't think of one person who ever said no. Because people are hurting and they want an answer. And he told story after story of how the love of God was revealed to many, many brothers and sisters, people who became brothers and sisters across the world. Right at home, in Ames, Iowa, but in the former Soviet Union, in China, Africa, a whole number of places where he's got an opportunity to share who he is with friends and colleagues. And when they hear the story, they open their hearts. One of the reasons I wanted to interview Bob was that his life is an example of what Pope Francis has exhorted the whole church to, really Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI as well. But I was thinking of Evangelii Gaudium, the apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis. He said in it, at one point, he said, I am a mission in this world. He said, that's why I am in this world. That's why God put me here, to fulfill my mission, to the purpose that God has given to me, to lay hold of it. And he said that each of the baptized, he said, every person and every parish, every diocese in America lives in a constant or a permanent state of mission. Every parish is a community of missionary disciples. A healthy parish, a dynamic living parish, is a parish where all the baptized are growing in the understanding and the actual experience and engagement in the vision and the purpose of the Great Commission, and understanding that, yeah, the church exists to evangelize. It's her deepest identity. And it's the communication of the Lord's love, bringing people to the knowledge of God. For many years in Bob's life, Bob had no idea that it really made a big difference to know Jesus, or that it was the most important thing. I mean, for him, he was raised Catholic, so he said, okay, I'm Catholic, I'll go to church, you know, with some regularity. But other people have other roads and other beliefs. Once he met the Lord, once he met the Lord in his brokenness, in his powerlessness, and he experienced the mercy of God, the tenderness of God's love, and the healing power of the Lord, he began to see who he is. He laid hold of his fundamental identity as a son of God. The scripture says Jesus gave us power to become children of God. And he began to see in a new way, or maybe for the first time, what it meant to be a child of God. And then he grasped the unique power, majesty, and glory of Jesus. And he understood, really for the first time, there's nothing more important in the world for anyone than the cross of Jesus Christ, than the shedding of his precious blood for the salvation of the world. And that knowing Jesus personally, receiving that love, coming to live in relationship with Jesus like the apostles did as his disciples and under his lordship and his majesty, coming into a heart that wants to do his will and is living in communion with him in prayer, Bobby came to say, there's nothing better than this. This is the best thing I can give to anybody at any time. And so the obligation simply to share wasn't there like a rule that he had to fulfill. It flows out of a life of love, captured by the love of Jesus. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and Pope Francis so clearly said, all the baptized are called now to live fearlessly open to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the love of Jesus and keeps that love alive and to make the contribution that the Lord has created each and every one of us for. Friends, that calls for you too. He's got a call on your life. Open your heart, seek him, and he'll show it to you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.